Good morning, Exotics. This is Brock speaking. How can I help? Oh, cool. Very good. Thanks for calling back, Jess. Don't know if you heard my voice message, but yeah, I've already done everything this morning, which is good. Had some time. I haven't trimmed the wings yet, so I just wanted to chat to you about that and a couple other little things. So I've noticed we've got Pipsqueak down as a boy. Have we done like any blood testing on him or anything like that to confirm that? Yeah, dinner testing. Cool. Who was that with? That wasn't with us, was it? The breeder. Cool. And he doesn't have any ID though. I guess that's what I worry about sometimes. Is like when they say like they've done the blood testing, like this. He doesn't have like a leg band or anything. But it's good that they have done that. Do you have any like did they give you a certificate or anything like that?
Screenshot.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. I'd just have a look. Like sometimes we've had people mix things up, and like we definitely had the with some birds without like a little ring or a microchip number. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to tell who's who, but like the cockatiels, they can look a little bit different. So that's good to know. That's it. Well, the thing for me is when they have the pearling, they're usually female, but males can have the pearling, but then lose it when they molt at about 6 months. So, yeah, he could just be a really young boy, which probably fits. All the sort of speckling on the feathers on the back. That's what that is. That can happen sometimes too, but yeah, they've got those little lines through it. So the little lines with the females. So usually with the boys, they'll lose that at the first sort of molt, and then the pearling as well. Usually the boys aren't pearled. So, but yeah, look, if they've done the blood test, great. That was one thing I wanted to double check with you is that, because we'd like to know what they are. And certainly, like these guys, honestly, life's just going to be easier if you've got two of them. Definitely. 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 So... definitely. Yeah. I'd definitely get another male hand-raised cockatiel. They'd be perfect together. Obviously, the house is going to be twice as loud, but when you guys are at work and everything, they're just going to be like thick as thieves and so, so happy being together every day. And even though one of them's not female, they'll actually bond together, sort of sexually. So they'll be, you know, like inseparable, and that's really what we want, because these are cockatiels. They just love so hard. They just if we don't have one bird, another bird with him, Pipsqueak will bond to one of you guys, and we find that like we actually say that's actually unhealthy, because they develop that sort of dependency on a person, and it's usually when screaming and plucking and those things sort of follow on. So so that's definitely the best option. Yeah, it's getting another male.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's it. Well, let's like when he gets a little bit of testosterone, maybe around 12 months or so, we might find he's you know, maybe not as snuggly. Like he might be a little bit more sort of maybe obnoxious, maybe. But the hope for us is that when we have two hand raised birds, that they'll be bonded together. They'll be really happy with each other, but they're still nice enough to come and spend time with us. You know, for the cuddling. Like that, so it may change the relationship a little bit, but from our point of view, it's actually healthier that they're together, and then they're still nice and friendly. We can enjoy them as pets as well. Definitely, yeah. Usually, we like same sex, same species birds, and then both hand raised for these guys. Yeah, the mustache, like they're usually actually really nice birds, especially the male mustache parrots. I haven't actually met a bad one that's been hand raised, but the two cockatiels together will be absolutely perfect. Like just like the ones here we have, and like Pipsqueak is honestly just trying to like talk to them, like as they fly past, he's trying to go with them and talk to them and everything. So he really wants a friend, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I just waited like 40 minutes and I just kept his head up. So the microchip's in there, all good. It's all fine. I was just going to say too, so yeah, with the wing trimming, what we preference is to not trim them, especially when they're younger. So like right now, he's sort of like got his L plates on. We definitely find like the birds that we trim younger, when they get older, they're usually the birds that have issues flying. So they fly into stuff, they're not confident. You know, often they'll associate flying with pain from falling and issues with that. And certainly, like, the more natural behaviors he can do, so which is for him, you know, preening, flying, foraging, socializing, the more we can do of those, the healthier, happier he's going to be, honestly, Jess. Definitely. So,
yep.
That's it. Well, I guess that's the hardest thing, is they definitely have a bit of mind of their own. You know, they're a bit stubborn, a bit obnoxious. But, you know, having two birds might be useful for that. Like, if you get one in, the other should follow. Or, you know, if you sort of withhold breakfast a little bit and put their breakfast in there, you might find that they're really happy to go back. Or, you know, tempt them with favourite foods like, you know, a little bit of toast or sunflower seed or something. But not too much, but just some really sort of high-value treat that might get them. But, you know, sometimes they'll still not get back in for that. But I would just say, like, just be careful of your time schedule. But, yeah, the preference is different. Fly. Yes, no instance. Yep. Oh, no, that's okay. Well, that's it. Hey, like, we honestly, I probably see once every 2 months or so, we've had a bird that flies into the hot curry, into the boiling water, and they burn themselves really bad. So I usually just say, like, when we're cooking, you know, hopefully not cooking for 3 hours straight, like, just put them back in the cage and get them out after all finished and can cover everything. But yeah, we do unfortunately see that sometimes, and it's pretty nasty. So, honestly, like, some of them are just really dumb like that, you know. When he gets a little bit of confidence, if he's flying, like, as he sort of matures and grows, usually he should just sort of fly around and sort of perch on different stuff. So you can have different perches around for him to encourage him to sort of perch somewhere and land. Yep. Cool. Yeah, cool. Little play stand. Good. Cool. That's perfect, honestly. Like, I think just with time and, you know, probably just, you know, just like us trying to protect a puppy from, you know, running onto the road and stuff like that, probably just from our point of view, probably the onus is on us to just make sure he's put away when we cook and, you know, the fans are turned off when he comes out and stuff like that. Just be really careful. Because, I mean, we've seen the worst happen, but it can happen. That's all good. And I just want to ask you, how's the diet conversion going? We've been offering, I think I read we've been offering some crumbles or something, or some budgie stuff. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. We have lots of issues with the Better Farm and those things. So, yeah, so the weight is up to about 85, which is perfect. And I did the crop wash again. There's definitely no bad bacteria in this. It looks like it's all gone. And obviously just Pipsqueak looks really well as well, which is really good. So, yeah, I would work on the conversion from now. So usually I'll give you the handout, unless you might have got it last time, about the conversion. You can definitely mix the food with the seed. I actually find, like, if you just actually separate them and put the pellets in the normal food bowl, you know, you're not going to lose as much. They'll just honestly pick out whatever they want, so you'll have less mess, less wastage. And then just slowly reduce the seed every week for about 4 or 5 weeks until Pipsqueak's on about maybe a quarter of a teaspoon of seed every day. Just a tiny amount with a small amount of pellets, so a couple of teaspoons, and then probably like a large sort of cup of just sort of chopped low-energy vegetables like green leafy stuff, carrots, capsicum, chili, stuff like that. Good. Yeah, good. Sure. He doesn't technically need that, Jess, but that's it. Like, that's really high calories for him. Like, think for us, like, eggs are really healthy, you know, high protein, stuff like that. But, you know, the amount of fat and cholesterol in that egg for him is going to be way too much because he's only about 80 grams, you know? So I would say probably just a real treat. You might even just scramble a little piece of egg to try and get him back in his cage or something. That might be something you can try. So I don't mind if he's getting something like that, just as a very small treat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Well, that's it. If you have two, they'll start singing together. They'll pick up all the tunes and stuff. Like, honestly, they're just... The male cockatiels is probably, honestly, the nicest bird to own. It's just probably just the volume, I guess. But it's, you know, they're nice sounds and they're happy, you know, so... yeah, cool, for sure. Yeah, so what I've got, I've just got the revisit fee, the microchip with the anesthetic, and then just the repeat cytology for the crop wash. So it's about $350 for today. Yeah, that's part of the revisit fee as well. So I've trimmed them too. That's a good gist. Oh yeah, last thing I'll just say, when we get the new bird as well, we usually just separate them, and then we do the same stuff we did last time, like worm them, check them for psittacosis, and then confirm the gender as well if it's not already done, and then they can go together if everything's fine as well. So, yeah. All good. All right. We'll see you when we see you.